Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success. 103.7 The Beat.
It's all over.
No,
it's all over. The fat lady has sang.
It's rough. That's a good team, man. I was kind of mad. I'm just mad about one thing, just Durant just leaving and going to that Pacific team.
Okay.
That's the only thing. Everything else, I'm cool with. I can't live with just like.
I can't beat him, I'm going to join him.
Yeah, I can't do that. I just can't do it. I don't care who justified LeBron did. I said, if LeBron would have done that, he would have went to the Boston Celtics.
Okay.
If Michael Jordan would have did it, Michael Jordan couldn't beat the Pistons for how many years? 6 years?
Oh, yeah.
He would have went to the Pistons.
Right.
Larry Bird would have like, man, Magic, can I get on, come on your team?
Yep.
So it would have happened in that capacity. So it didn't happen like that. And
no.
That's the asterisk by his championship.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody.
And then they set him down. They asked him. They brought him in the living room, all that. Like, to try to comfort him. Like, come play with us, man. We tired of whooping on you.
Yeah, well, I understand there was this meeting up in the Hamptons, okay, in New York. So if you go to the Hamptons, you know, there's a lot of going on up there, right? So whining and dining and influencing. And, you know, the rest is history, man.
The rest is history.
And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what next year brings. But at the end of the day, they're the champs.
That's right. They got a couple months to enjoy it, and they right back to the work.
Right. Yeah. And it was a very interesting story about McGee, man. I was just blown away about that guy being from this area.
Yeah.
He had no idea.
I mean, his mom, you know, having connections to this area and ties and family to this area, he's supposed to be Hikes Tiger. He's supposed to be.
Hikes Tiger, man.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It is.
I remember, I don't know if he can correct me. I know Lou Williams told me a story about him when he was like in the ninth grade. His mom tried to bring him from Country Day to Muskegon Hikes.
And, wow.
And that was a time when Coach Guy had some amazing teams, amazing talent. I know A.D. Sanders was the best player on the team. He was averaging like almost a double-double, probably like 3 or 4 blocks. And he was that guy because he was the benefit of a lot of guards penetrating and passing, getting him slams and all that. And Eddie did a great job, Eddie Sanders' junior son.
I remember him.
So he was a dynamic talent. And I think they brought him in. If anybody can correct me when they see me, when they brought him in, they were smashing on JaVale McGee. But he was in the ninth grade, so it was like they was juniors and seniors, and they was punishing him. But he was bigger than them.
Okay.
But then I just look at the capacity of his mother being who she was.
Okay.
The legend of being drafted in 90, I believe, 97, as the number 2 pick in the WNBA overall at the age of 34. Playing with Cheryl Miller. You know, Cheryl Miller was no joke.
Oh, no.
Reggie Miller's sister.
She's a legend, man.
Gold medals.
Right.
You know, just being with USC, having those squads. So it's like just having that lady around, probably a women's program in Hikes would have been big. So it's like, man, it's like a lot of times you think that you got it going good, but the future could have probably been even bigger because imagine having him as a graduate and you coached him.
Okay.
What's the seed money like on your program? That's how I look at it. I'm like,
a nice piece of change.
I don't care if he couldn't make a layup. I'm looking at he in the NBA, and he done did about 2 or 3 contracts, and it make you think, like, man, I could have had that guy. And a lot of times, you know, coaches, they know everything, and I'm not picking it on coaches, but it's like he would have been a great piece to have for our community as a whole, you know?
Right.
Just having that. So just being able to connect and just think, like, man, JaVale McGee could have been in a Muskegon uniform, period. Just Muskegon
Heights.
Yeah, could
have been a poster
child. Muskegon County, yeah.
Yeah, poster you know? Child.
So that's an NBA title. And
very
it's just
interesting.
It just shows what crosses our community all the time. And I think his mom wanted to either coach with the boys or the girls. Whoever see me, correct me. If she wanted a girls' head job or something like that.
So oh, okay.
At the time, I think they weren't giving it up, and it was a loyalty. So I think I was into Kevin Durant on that one. I was like,
okay.
So, yeah, man, you're going to have to, while her son here, you're going to have to be her assistant. I would have did that.
You got to step aside.
And I would have humbled myself as a coach and let her come on aboard because of the experience. You don't know who she could have called at the time.
Very true. And chances are it probably wasn't a long-term commitment anyway.
That's right. Her son, get a scholarship, he's gone.
A couple years and she out of there, man.
But then look what you probably could have learned as a coach or – I mean, she went to the highest level. She played. Yeah. I don't care if I say, that's a woman.
No.
WNBA, NBA, the salary's different, but those girls got skill.
Yes, they do.
And they got connections to coaches to give people education.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, because when you look at it, our community still has some disparity with kids getting kids to the next level.
Yes.
You know, so it's just, we're just not getting there.
Right. The pipeline is starting to feel.
And that was almost 10 years ago when he tried to get him in his community.
10 years ago.
So look at that, 10 to 12 years ago. So that's the connection. Just looking at that, it was a great game. LeBron, once again, played great finals.
Great finals.
Great
man.
Finals. J.R. Smith, if he would have heated up in game three like that, it'd have been a different
game
series.
Game three, we should have won, man.
Yeah, we should have won. J.R. Smith, I bet it on you, man. That jump post has been hitting.
They went to the witness protection program on us in game three, man.
Yeah, they did.
Couldn't find him.
Couldn't find him. It hurt. That hurt.
Yeah, it kind of gave – that tilted the scales just a little too much.
Yeah.
Because if we could have got another one and got a sixth game in Cleveland, man, they'd have been scared to death to have another seventh game series with these Cavs.
Yeah, it'd have been a different story. So, and then I just weighed some things out. People always pick on me and say, I got these theories. But I was like, if Steve Kerr loses, that means that him and Mike Brown will be coaches that lost 0-3, 3-0 lead, 3-1 lead, and got swept. So it's like they avoided that bullet with my theory. So, so congratulations to them. Congratulations to Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry. They're just a bunch of humble guys. It's like, hey, we want to win. He the best player in the West. Come on our team. Forget your boy and just come win with us. Leave your boy hanging. We'll get him the MVP of the NBA. That's what he'll get. Right. But look, congratulations to Oklahoma Thunder for producing the MVP runner-up this year,
okay,
the Finals MVP, and an NBA MVP on three separate teams.
Okay.
Terrible management. That's terrible.
Terrible management.
They was treating them brothers like they wasn't worth nothing. That's how they was treating them. They wouldn't give them what they wanted. And they left all, one of them stayed, and both of them left, and look what they gained.
Right.
Harden gained, $146 million?
Yep.
And runner-up MVP, Walker triple-double, Westbrook Walker triple-double, and Kevin Durant just all through the series. Like, you put the ball in his hand, he's shooting over you.
He was the difference.
He's automatic. He had to play. He played defense. He played weak side help. A lot of times you've seen him getting dunked on because he didn't have the force. But that's what JaVale McGee was from. It's a complete team, man. It's like an NBA AAU team to me.
If he was absent from that team this year, they would have not beat the Cavs.
No, they wouldn't.
Cavs would have repeated.
They'd be.
He was the X factor.
Because every time the game got close, he was like, I got this.
He'd shoot that jumper. And it was money.
Yeah,
money
was
in the
money.
Bank, man. So, but hey, I gotta, say they're the champs.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about. Yeah. We'll get ready for next year.
It's the summertime. Get ready for next year. It's the summertime in Muskegon. We got I know we did a fundraiser a couple weeks ago. They have the parties in the park on Friday and Saturdays.
Yes, sir.
It's
good job.
Yep, and we're doing the fundraiser. But I've been noticing, and they're having the taste this weekend when this airs. It'll be this weekend. It'll be the taste.
Really?
You know, wow. Dollar tickets, you buy so many tickets. And
we normally go down and support it.
Check it out and everything. And, park in the Hackley parking lot. Help
school
them kids
administration.
Out. Even though we're not there, I think the girls basketball team, somebody's going to be there this weekend. I can't remember if we got it this weekend. We had it one weekend.
Band,
whoever
orchestra.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Park there. It's $5. Help those kids out. Because I noticed a couple weeks ago when we were there, everybody parked around us. I don't know whether it was the color of our uniforms or the color of our skin. I'm just going to go just like that.
$5.
It was $5, you think?
Yes.
You sure?
I'm positive, man. People just cheat.
But no, it's not. I don't really think it's that because we saw, and I'm going to keep the person unnamed, we saw a coach of another team. He was like, man, last year at this same time, we packed this event out.
Okay.
And he said, it's a shame that they treat them girls like that. So
I'm pretty sure there's some haters out there that refuse to support our kids. It's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
There's enough Muskegon supporters to go down there. If you even don't park in there, walk by and give them $5.
Yeah. Buy some water or something. Just help those kids out. And I can't remember. I got to check the schedule. I think we down there or we're not. But just the fact that just pouring in the community and just helping those kids out and just, when you see them playing or something, like, I help those kids and I'm supporting a good cause. That's all I look at. Because I know if I go down there, I'm parking in that parking lot. No matter where they're, I'm going to give them the $5, and this is part of what we do. So you're going to be down there anyway.
Yeah. I might be parking my relative's house and walk over there. I'm going to still give them the $5.
That's the way. And then they got a lot of things going on downtown. They got the Kitchen 242. I've been seeing that Damon Armstrong been cooking meals and showing meal prep and meal planning. I think that's on Sundays on the weekends. I'm just seeing things that I've been seeing. The little side stores that you can have, they've been renting. Like
little chalets.
Chalets. That reminds me of Ghana. It's not as nice as those. Those are pretty nice.
Right.
But that's how Ghana was. They had those chalets on the side. You can get your hair cut. You can buy small items like food and things like that. And that's a great idea downtown. It's picking up, the 18th Amendment restaurant. I know when Muskegon Community College is getting ready to open up there, I believe.
It's coming along. I drove by it today, man. It's coming. It's going to be okay down.
That's going to be like,
it's going to be all right.
We're going to be like a small mini downtown Grand Rapids pretty soon. It's coming.
Okay.
So that's going to make the police force beef up, security. So that's jobs there, jobs in entertainment, you know, probably more concerts and things like that coming down, more shows for people to do things in a positive venue.
Yeah, they dropped off a map at my office the other day, and it kind of list of all the various things to do downtown, list some of the upcoming events. It's most of the businesses downtown have these brochures. Pick one up. It, like you said, there's a lot of things to do in downtown Muskegon. You just got to come down and experience it.
You don't have to drive all the way to Grand Rapids or Lansing or Holland anymore. Start hanging out in your own city, and it's safe. You know, I just think that's economical for me. Just being able to say, I could ride my bike down there or go down to my wife or something and just hang out. Just make it where it is in the community. I know the along the lakeshore, the old sappy plant,
yeah.
there, right? They're getting ready to build that area up. They almost got that stuff cleaned up, those condos and shops and everything. It's going to be amazing, man.
It's going to be amazing. And they've sold almost all those houses over on Houston and Monroe.
Downtown.
Downtown.
I've seen those.
I think there's maybe like three or four.
Was there any perks? Because I know there was pretty expensive homes for that area.
They did lower the price.
Yeah,
to attract some buyers.
Yeah, I was thinking that they would do something like to help either police officers or teachers out to do like
city employees.
Yeah, teacher next door program or something where you have an educator or somebody. That's what I would want to do, but I would more like lean towards being in a condo or something for myself. But that's what I was thinking they would have done to get more people to move in the community that has relationships with the community.
And it's phase one, so we don't know what the long term ramifications might be in the case that they do, you know, partake in some kind of an incentive program for city employees, public school employees, to get them to move downtown.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of shaking going on. Like, I know Hikes, I know their superintendent is going to Okemos now.
Yeah.
You know,
is it Okemos or Portage?
Okemos.
Okemos.
I used to live in Okemos. I used to live in Campus Hill. That's a prestigious community. I mean, per capita, when I was in college, it was $78,000 per family.
Oh, yeah. There's...
That was almost 20 years ago, so...
Yeah,
prestigious community.
Yeah, they have no poor people.
Yeah, no poor people there
to speak of.
So that's a different demographics to deal with. But you know, just looking at that.
So they're looking for superintendent now.
Yeah,
and not his own.
I don't think so. I think there's probably going to be something where it's going to be
shared leadership.
Yep, shared leadership. I think and contracted services because that's what the community is moving towards, helping and in support of each other.
Uh-huh.
Shared support. Where you got services coming in, working with families, and getting the community to own their neighborhood and their school.
Makes a lot of sense.
And contract services in that are research-based. I know we got some meetings coming up to do some work like that to learn what works in research-based and trying to help communities that's trying to grow and trying to thrive again. And, you know, organizations like Health West and other places like Muskegon Health, Muskegon Family Care.
Okay. They're
trying to figure out how to collaborate in the right way and by Hikes not hiring a superintendent, that can be a way where possibly our superintendent or ISD can do some things to build that capacity, but then that makes that community thrive better because now best practices is happening where other districts are coming in and saying, look, this worked for us. Let's try this with you guys. Let's do this in support so you won't see people just swimming by themselves.
Absolutely.
So everybody taking ownership of a community and trying to say, oh, we're going to do our best practices with this community, whether it's adjudicated kids, whether it's honors programs, whether it's college prep, trying to make sure that they had the right services and the right DHS services and support services to build and do better. So it's a lot of stuff going on in Muskegon.
We just
broke it all the way down from the finals to our own community.
Right.
But I just feel like it's going to be a whole different graphic in about 2 or 3 years, and we're going to be looking at some great things in our city.
That's it.
Yep.
We just got to continue to support.
That's it, man. So
city.
So what I have, I know last week we had that interview with Miss Simone. That was pretty good.
She laid it out. Good.
I was listening to that. That was pretty touching and positive. I know she's doing some more things. She's going to have an office in Grand Rapids. I know we gave her information out last time, but we're looking to do more things with her in the future also and have other people on to do interviews, and that was fun. I still have our list. I mean, we haven't been able to go through our top 70.
Okay.
What we have. I know where we left off at, it was about, we were at, I think, 33, I think. Last time we stopped.
And number 33.
Yep, it says, teach your children well. Raising financially literate and responsible kids should be part of your estate plan. Be upfront about wealth that you have and your plans for it. And make sure your legacy is as much about your values as it is about your bank account. Start teaching budgeting skills at an early age. Have teens use allowance to pay for some of their own expenses, and steel yourself to the let the cell phone go dark if they fall behind on a wireless bill. You know, like parents do, they take that phone from you. They take that game from their kids.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had a conversation with a parent today along the same lines about individuals that want to be grown, okay, but don't understand the responsibilities from a behavioral, social, financial aspects, okay? When you reach that threshold, you can't act like you 12, 13 years old, okay, because repercussions and the consequences are a lot greater. And you go to work and half of your paycheck or more than your paycheck go towards your bad decision making.
There it is.
Not good.
You're exactly right. And just thinking, I know I had talked to you sometime when me and you had did a photo shoot, and they still working on those pictures. And I talked to them, and I was like, something came over my mind to say that two things we can do. And I was thinking, like, do one where we do a six-week series over scripture that covers money.
Okay.
And then we do a six-week, after that one, we do a six-week where we teach families how to deal with their kids and money. So I've been in a lab working it, and now I'm an educator. So that summer, that's going to be my summer project, and I'm going to be stepping in your office a lot to figure out how we can round this thing out.
Come on.
But I don't know, 6 weeks on scripture about money and finance. I have some stuff that I have, and 6 weeks on how to teach your kids about money.
That's it.
So it's like, I've been an educator for a long time, and I know you have your background in helping people get estate planning and things like that. We might as well just crack it out, and then when the school year roll around, we roll those two series out. And we'll get them.
Yeah, those are just two major important facts, man, that is lacking.
Yeah, it's lacking.
For lack of a better term, in our society, especially in our community, where I had a conversation with a minister the other day about the future of the church.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Future of the church is in jeopardy.
Now, why you say that? What did the pastor say? What was his rebuttal to that?
He agreed 100% for the simple reason. He was saying he had a conversation with a parent, and a child was like 7 years old. And the parent asked the child, do you want to go to church? Well, at 7 years old,
you don't ask them.
I don't think they should be asked whether or not they want to go to church. At 7 years old, I wasn't asked.
Me either.
I was expected. Okay.
So you get up and go.
It was a part of the ritual on a Saturday evening. You prepared yourself to go to church the next morning because it wasn't about laying around in the bed. So you set these expectations, and you don't give them those kinds of choices because they're not old enough to rationalize. And the same thing with money, okay? You can't give a seven-year-old $100 and expect him to use it wisely. It's not going to happen. You have to show them how to do it. But the story was that there's not enough young people
that believe,
that attend church on a regular basis to sustain the church as a whole. Take a look at it.
You're right, because, man, the dynamics of it. But the whole, like, before I came here tonight, before I came to do the show today, I'm always working on stuff. And I was looking at, you know, I got tons of videos. So I'm watching the DVD that I got because I'm preparing for this Principles on Money with Kids and Adults. And it was this rich guy. He was talking. He was like, well, I'll tell you three things. When you start mastering your budget, he said, tithes, taxes, and savings. Mm-hmm. And he said, 10, 10, 10. And he talked about robbing a church. He talked about building a foundation. And he just said he was wealthy. And he was like, it started with him giving a 10 and paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And give him 10% back to himself, and he used scripture to balance that. And I was like, a lot of people don't even believe in that.
Oh no,
and that's why they don't have.
No, and again, that's probably why we have a lot of the problems we have today in society, because there's not enough teachings of the Bible.
I really look at it like it's an identity crisis. People only call on God when they need something, you know, and just when you look at stuff and like. I mean, you're in the financial realm. Like, we have conversations all the time. People come in and buy with vehicles or they come in, they want to just get their credit together to hit it. It seems like they're trying to hit a quick lick, and it's not lifelong.
No.
And I always bring this up. Like, are you trying to manage Mammoth? Mammoth being like debt, a debt cycle, or are you trying managing to be debt-free? Do you want to be able to say, man, I don't owe on this no more. This is paid off, and I got a surplus of savings here. Do you want to be like that over a lifetime and have a legacy and be able to start some things to some people, or you want to just be on when the newest, latest phone come out, the latest car come out, the latest this come out, you got to have the best of everything? That's right. So stressful.
It is. That's a stressful.
That's chaos, man.
Yeah, because there's a cost associated with that lifestyle.
The association of what you letting let loose in the universe. If you can't let loose of a certain mindset that keeps you in debt, you're going to hold on to the stronghold of debt, and it's going to have you just going crazy. It's going to be in a cycle, and it's just looking at these principles. And as they said, teach children well. Teach them early. And my father used to always try to preach that to me as a kid. He's like, you don't need that. That's not worth it. Don't waste your money on that. That car no too expensive. You don't need a jacket like that. It's like, you need to go and get you a blazer and some pants. I'm like, man, why not wear no suit? That's whack. And I was like, nah, look for the suit, the affordable suit that I can wear with a jacket and pants and a dress shirt. And all I got to do is stay, keep my body at a certain weight, and all I need is change shirt and belts.
Right.
And nice shoes.
You can mix it up.
And get the suit dry clean. I'm like, hold on, he was right the whole time.
Save that money.
Graduation come. Oh, I got this suit already.
Right.
I done had this a couple years.
Put it off the rack.
When they just buy one, when they out of season, you just buy them.
They're off there.
Buy the summer one in the winter.
Clearance rack.
Yeah, buy the summer in the winter. Buy the winter in the summer. Oh, this is a nice wool one. Wool blend, silk blend. I can't wear it in July, but I can definitely wear it in October.
Yes.
I'll get this one right now. Oh, it's 80% off, sir.
Yeah, 80% off.
And based on what we do, you get a 3-year wear out of that.
Yeah, you don't wear it every day.
You don't wear it every day, and you got it. So it's just like, teach your children well.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Yep, the next one is shelter retirement income. And I was reading this, and I wanted you to probably expound on this one. You said, how can you shelter your retirement income? Like, what do they mean by that? When you shelter it. Now, I'm going to give you the notes. It says, the general post-retirement rule is to draw from your taxable income first. When you sell investments in a taxable account, you pay tax only on the profit. And if you've held the investments for more than a year, the profit is taxed at a long-term capital gains rate, which tops out at 20%. But if you may get an even sweeter break in 2017, married couples with taxable income up to $75,000 and single people with income at $37,000 are eligible for a zero capital gains rate. Now, you know, President Trump got this new tax thing he has.
Oh, yeah, he liked that zero capital gains tax, man.
So
that's for those long-term investors. But, yeah, there's a number of ways to invest. Of course, the most common way is through an employer's 401k or 403b. And shelters means that you're putting this money away on a deferred basis. So there's no taxation as you are accumulating these funds. Okay, so if you start out and you're 30 years old and you work till you're 65 and you basically saved and invested your money, along the way you've probably got tax breaks for investing that money. But when it comes time to take a distribution, now it becomes a taxable event only on the money that you take possession of. So if you have $100,000 sitting in your retirement account and you take $2,000 of it out as a distribution, you only pay $2,000. You only pay taxes on the $2,000.
Okay. Now, I've read, and sometimes, like, if you want to buy a house or if you have a tragic event, in some way, it's not a loophole, but it's like tax laws will cover you in that situation.
Right. It's not per se the tax laws. It's the penalties.
Okay.
59 and a half is the age in which the penalty goes away. But there's hardships.
That's right.
Okay. It's for medical to buy a first house, and there's now education can qualify for a hardship exemption.
Yes, sir. That's what I've read.
You take possession of the money. You use it for that purpose.
And prove it.
You got to prove it. There's got to be documentation. But you're going to have to pay taxes. Okay, that you can't get away from.
You can't get away from. But you can pull the money and draw and then do and build that investment.
After 59 and a half, there is no penalty. And they will waive the penalty for your hardship. Don't get me wrong. That's the purpose of it, is to waive that the penalty, which is 10%.
All right.
So the next one says, keep an eye on recurring fees. Don't let recurring fees nibble away at your assets. Households with two cell phones, a landline, and a cable and internet bundle spend a whopping $2,700 a year on average on those services, according to a Consumer Federation report. Consider sharing a phone family with a family members and dropping your cable plan in favor of using an antenna to get over the air channels and signing up for streaming video. That make a lot of sense.
Watching, it does.
Watching it on the news feed. I know I watched part of the NBA game last night in Spanish. No subtitles. I didn't need it. I like the internet got
me. You didn't need it. Man, I turned it down. I don't even want to listen to the commentators,
that's right,
man.
That's right. I like, and it was interesting listening in Spanish. Like, right. Curry, woo, Trayvon. I was like,
LeBron.
They was excited. I'm like, this game is better in Spanish. Woo! They was getting it in. The Spanish commentator was doing it. I was loving it. So I really appreciated that. But that was my that's how my entertainment is spent. If it's on the internet and it's in Spanish, I'm watching it.
You're
that
on
day.
It.
I'm watching
know,
that game.
Right.
They had the live feed going.
You don't have Telemundo to have nobody tell you what's going. You know the game. You
that's
can
right.
see what's going on.
And I saw a student the other day. He was like, he said, I gotta take summer school. I got to do summer school because I feel Spanish. I say, look, you got to do like I do. Sometimes watch the NBA games in Spanish.
And it'll help you.
It's interesting.
And improve your Spanish, man.
Yeah, improve your Spanish. So that's one way I keep an eye on recurring fees. You're not going to get me like the two cell phones. I'm trying to get the bundle package where it's a certain set fee. And you know, they always got their taxes. They charge you there.
Oh, yeah. You can go to a website called freeair.com. Okay.
Okay.
And you go to this website, and it tells you about all the frequencies and stations that are available if you have an antenna. And a lot of them now are in HD with an antenna. You won't get the hundreds of stations. And who watches hundreds of stations anyway?
We got no life.
Okay,
you do.
You're going to get your basic stations that we've got in the past, your ABC, CBS, and Fox, and some other stations with these antennas. So that is something that people should really take a hard look at. Because the cable companies are going absolutely nuts.
You're right.
Overcharging, no competition. It's a monopoly. And, you know, that's a whole other story we get into because they're paying off the congressmen and senators to hold this monopoly.
But, you know, it's like me being to the point where my mind is at, it's like I see the excess that people living with because, like, we cut a lot of fat off of what we living on. And my wife keeps me cognizant of living off the lean. She's like, you don't need that. Don't need that. Don't need to buy that. Mm-hmm. New furniture for what? So who coming over here?
Right.
You know, like.
We're sitting on it. It's yeah. good. Serving
it's
a purpose.
Good. So it's like, you think like, wow, that's, I don't have to buy that. I don't have to buy this. And, we got internet. We got a cell phone. Car full of gas.
Paid for.
Yeah, paid for. So I'm like, she's like, what you need it for? She said, you need to start this plan, this plan, that plan.
That's right.
And she's like, you make sure you do this investment. Make sure you're doing that. So she getting to the point where she's seeing that the time and the future is more important than having something right now.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess that was working with you just starting to rub off.
Oh, man, she's going to be.
She's going to be dynamic. Oh, man. I know she is. I appreciate that.
I'm creating a monster over here.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I'm glad you are. I appreciate that. You said next one is invest to beat inflation.
Interesting. Inflation.
Yes.
Word we hardly hear about anymore.
Man, it's kind of, but it eat it up, though. Like, you can make a certain income and then. If you don't figure out how to live on your budget, you find yourself eating that income you had with that raise up.
Yeah, yeah. Income is still a factor in life. You got to understand.
Income and outcome.
Income and outcome and the price of goods and services is basically what inflation says. What I paid for a gallon of milk last year is probably more, it's probably less than what I paid this year. So the difference is inflation.
Yeah, that's or then price. It depends on how they cutting the cost because, like, I didn't buy them, but I was at I'm not gonna name the store, the grocery chain, but I was at a store and I was like, I said, man, why is this so cheap? It was some eggs. It was large eggs, like 12 of them, 79 cents.
Yeah.
Then it was like a gallon of chocolate milk, $1.50. I said, I can't get that. He's like, why? He said, I said, that's not real milk. A gallon of milk for $1.50.
What is it?
What is it?
It
might be made by a clone cow.
It could be powdered milk. You don't know. Powdered milk is a whole lot easier to make than whole milk is. And you got all these other milks that's out there on the market now.
Man.
The almond milk, the soy milk.
Yeah.
And the milk producers are saying, hold up, wait a minute.
Let's
you
do something.
You can't use that term milk, okay, because that's not what it is.
It's not what it is.
It's a byproduct of the soybean, or it's a byproduct of the coconut or whatever. Yeah. But milk is a pasteurized product, so there's some fighting going on about the use of these terms as far as milk goes. Kind of interesting. Along, and we'll get into these other stories later on down the road, but milk is a definitely commodity. It's a commodity that we need to know about because everybody drinks milk. Yes. All the school serves milk, supplies milk to the students, but there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes about the price of milk.
It's a lot of stuff going on, but that's the first thing we look at. We look at gas, milk, eggs, groceries.
Bread,
price of the stuff that you
staples,
need on a regular. You
know, everyday
staples, they go up when you talk about inflation. You're like, well, especially people that live on fixed incomes, you're like, well, I need this, it's set up for this, right? And they walk somewhere, that's $4? That's $5?
I walked through the store the other day and seen a thing of bacon, right? I don't know, bacon used to cost $1 a pack or whatever. It was like $5, $5, $6 a pack, man, for bacon. It's like, okay, so the hog farmers is getting it in, okay?
And that's not right at all. So, like, inflation can be a tricky thing where you say certain things will go up and certain things won't. And then it'll balance the costs out, so you got to figure out how you're shopping and what you're spending. The next one is, our last one for the day is capitalize on a windfall. About one-fifth of U.S. retirees are expected to have estates that top out at $390,000. According to the Banking and Financial Services Organization, HSBC.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a beneficiary of a parental or start by doing nothing and stash your bounty in a safe place, such as a savings or a money market, for 6 months to a year, this will give you time to come up with a solid plan to get most of your money for your good fortune. This also gives you time to assemble a team to advise you to help you manage your money. Your team should include a financial planner and a certified public accountant or enrollment agent. Depending on the nature of your windfall, you may also need to help from a lawyer and an insurance professional. Resist temptation to tell your boss to take your job and shove it. So basically, windfalls is like lottery, a trust somebody left you,
insurance payoffs. Yep.
So then, when that large sum of money comes, don't be like, "I'm just give me the whole check."
We're going to the Mercedes dealership. Getting that big Mercedes.
Or if you even get the big check, that big check could get eaten up, wouldn't it, when you receive it?
Well, certain death benefits are not taxable.
Okay.
Okay, so if you are a beneficiary of a life insurance policy, those proceeds are not taxable. If it's some kind of a trust, then it's probably going to be a taxable event.
I wouldn't even quit my job.
Lotteries.
Yeah, okay. $400,000 at the age I'm at, I wouldn't even quit my job because you look at it, you're like, well, okay, $400,000.
Why would you quit it?
What am I saying? Somebody take my job and shove it. Like, you know, some people do that. Like, I got this much money now. But you really don't. Because if you look at it, if you're making $40,000 a year, that's 10 years.
In 10 years.
And then the tax on a $400,000. But if it's a death benefit, it's $400,000. That's 10 years of money.
You get all of that.
But then, so what you going to do with that 10 years? You're going to live off that 10 years and then you're not going to have nothing?
Then you're going
to
be broke.
So you gave your job. So you got to think, all right, what does that $400,000 look like if I just use it to pay off my mortgage?
Okay, and then that's something else you want to be concerned. Yeah. You want to be concerned about too is paying off that mortgage because there's some benefits to having a mortgage. Okay, at a younger age, and of course at an older age, no, you definitely want to live debt free. But there's some tax benefits that you have.
So a windfall, when you get the windfall, you're like, okay, well, it's perfect to go see someone that's a tax professional or a CPA or something.
That's right. Well, we can set you up where you can get 4 or 5%. Guaranteed with no risk involved because you're not a risky kind of person. You know, a lot of people scared of the stock market, but if you got that kind of cash and you can take a 10-year, 20-year plan and put it together and say, okay, these products here will basically pay you 4 or 5% guaranteed every year for the life of this annuity per se, that's going to be great. There's other people that say, you know what, I got a pretty good savings over here. I got a pretty good 401k. We're going to go into the stock market with this 405 because when I retire, I want to have, twice as much. But we're not willy-nilly. We got a good plan put together. But it's for those people that understand the dynamics of the market.
Yeah, you got to have get a little toy out of it. Like, okay, here go $40,000. Go have fun with that $40,000.
Yeah, peace out.
Go feel good about. What I would say is, if I had a windfall, for $400,000,
10% is what?
10% of $40,000.
It's 40 grand.
I'm taking 40, and the 40 grand gonna be a vacation, wife, one ticket item. I would think I would like to have, and do something fun. For a group of friends.
Okay.
That's it. But I mean, that's 10% has got to go to the church too. So that's so you look at that.
I'm looking at 50
grand.
You get 5%.
Yep.
You're going to take off 10%.
Yeah.
But you only get to spend 5%.
Yeah, I'm really spending 5 for myself.
20 grand.
So then my circle of influence would be like, oh, we had a good time. That's it. Now I'm back to business.
Yeah. But trust me, I've seen people $300,000 in a year be broke. I've seen it.
So it says manifestation, renewing of your mind, and just walk like you're in the manifestation of it. Act like you're going to expect that you're going to get the $400,000. Act you're going to get it and already have it set up, spending a certain plan. Like, all right, when this comes to me because of I'm doing A, B, and C, I'm going to do this. Like you said, 5% coming to me, and these things going to happen. And the rest, I don't need to see because I done had the emotional feeling of it. Now I'm good, and I know it's there and secure after that. Yep.
So now I don't have to work till I'm 65.
That's right.
Because I got this money, I'm going to put together a plan. I can retire early, okay? But I'm going to continue to work, build my Social Security benefits up.
Yes, sir.
Build up my 401k, and hopefully the market does well, and my financial advisors does, make smart decisions, and my investments will grow. So now when I do retire, I'm going to retire very comfortably. I can travel, enjoy the money, spend time doing things that I never had the time to do. That's the plan.
All right, my name is Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.